Hey, welcome back to the next episode of Mass Art Radio. I'm Kin, and I'm joined with
Ethan,
Annette,
and Liv.
And today we are going to be talking about some bad music. Very interesting topic to start a radio show with. And you are listening to WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's Community Radio, and this is Mass Art Radio. We have a new website that you can go check out, massartradio.com. We're live there right now as well, if you want to go listen. Any other points to add, guys, for our intro today?
Prepare yourself. There's going to be some stuff in here that is bad.
Really bad.
Abhorrent.
Abhorrent, indeed.
Terrible, maybe?
Disgusting.
Awful.
Alrighty.
What's the worst song you've ever listened to?
So, I like a lot of genres. I don't think that country is the worst genre.
Well, definitely any Taylor Swift song off the top of my head.
That being said, I think Country Girl, Shake It For Me by Luke Bryan is probably one of the worst songs ever. As a woman, I feel like there's a lot of things that I can tolerate being compared to, but the back of a honky-tonk truck, I don't think really flies.
Well, I think it's Snake Eyes. It's by this artist named Demon Dice, and it's not my opinion, but I back it. It really sucks. They're a rapper. They're really bad at rapping. They're racist, and I don't think that they know that they're racist. And it's really bad. It's a bad experience.
I don't like Rebecca Black's Friday. I just think that it doesn't sound good and is annoying.
I am not a fan of Korn because my brother had a big phase when we were in high school, and ever since then I'm traumatized.
No Korn.
No Korn, ever.
Anything by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I don't know why they bring me rage.
What's that one song? What's that one monkey song, you know?
Dance, yeah. That one's definitely like, I feel like that's all around, and no one can disagree with me and say that that is a good song.
Oh, the Island Boys. If you remember, they were just the worst type of music ever. They were a white boy trying to do like hip-hop and rap, and kind of trying to like copy the aesthetics of like African-Americans rappers, and like, bro, like, you can't do it well. Just sit down and be a white boy.
There's some really old ones that I'm like, okay, I can see how this would be good, but a lot of this pop songs now too, I don't know. I mean, I'm biased because I like a very specific genre, like I mostly stick to that, but I'm willing to broaden my horizons.
You're going to hate me. I don't feel to think that I'm like, oh, you're like, you like all these like songs and you're talking about this song being trash.
When you can listen to
Mass Art Radio!
The best station around.
I love Mass Art Radio. Best station, yes.
Alrighty.
So, that was bad.
They were all bad songs. Well, I disagree with some, but, you know. So before we get deep into what we think about those answers. Again, you're listening to WBCA 102.9 FM, Mass Art Radio, and I'm Kin.
I'm Ethan.
I'm Nat.
I'm Liv.
And let's talk about some of those answers.
Yeah, what do we think is like common denominators that like make people react to those music, those songs that way?
Yeah. I honestly felt like, besides the Korn and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, those were all, like, deathly catchy songs. like super catchy.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
But also, catchy can be annoying. And I think some people find like catchy vocals to be annoying or grating.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
For example, like Rebecca Black's Friday is always the moment you hear like any of that chorus, it's in your head for a while.
Yeah. And something I found interesting is that most of the answers and the reasons were like because that person is controversial or because the song's sexist or the song's racist. And I think it makes sense. But I like expected people to be like Friday by Rebecca Black, Baby by Justin Bieber. And I felt like the reasons were like pretty fair for most of them.
Like judging music based on context versus like the quality of like the artistic craft.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes I think, well, sometimes I feel like artistic or aesthetic quality can sometimes override the context of a song if it's a controversial song or by a controversial artist. But if the song isn't very good, then if you're, you know, problematic, then there's really nothing going for it.
Yeah. There's two ways we can talk about this, in that like a lot of these artists, the song wasn't like because the artist was bad, and a lot of them were just like Rebecca Black didn't have a history before that song came out, and I think as soon as she was on the map, she was off the map.
Yeah.
Like people really hated that song.
Yeah, there's like two, as you said, like two different like categories of bad. It's like the poppy, like annoying Rebecca Black type, and then the like actually like controversially like bad, like what was the one that Lily said?
The monkey like song?
Country Girl Shake It For Me.
Oh yeah, Country Girl Shake It For Me. Yeah. That song is awful. It's so bad. But it's because it's like that's gross mostly, country.
Yeah, it's mostly based on like the lyrical content and like
I think
people don't like country music either.
Well, we might have mentioned this last time, but we've got our music tier list at home. And country pop is the only one in like the worst category. So we can definitely relate to that, I feel like.
Yeah.
At the same time though, country is I think one of the most popular genres in the country.
Oh yeah, right now. Of course.
Yeah, especially with like Taylor Swift and like I feel like it's had a boom in recent years.
Yeah, I honestly feel like Taylor Swift has kind of removed herself from the country. Like she's definitely more in the pop scene, which is still be country, but I don't know. She put herself on the map with country, but I wouldn't say those fans who were there for country only stuck around. It became very much like staying with a younger audience, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pop and country are two genres I don't consider very like good. Like they don't have like a good array of songs. Like there's some good ones, but there's some really bad ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, the highs can be high, but the lows are, oh, so, so, so low. Now, I think we have to bring it back to Rebecca Black's Friday, which I think might be the perhaps definitive bad song. There's just something I think about the vocal performance when she says, Friday. That just kind of, like, feels like petting a cat backwards.
But it's also, like, a quintessential like beloved song of like and beloved to hate
love to
song
hate, yeah.
Of like the early YouTube age.
Yeah. Would you say maybe it's so bad it's good? Would anyone dare to say that?
I could say that because I can like if you play it I'll like sing along and start dancing, but it's because it's like so bad.
It's funny. Yeah, that's definitely an earworm, but like not just like an inchworm, it's like a tapeworm in your brain. But however, I want to go back to thinking about, like, some people said that they hated these songs because they hated the artist. I kind of want to bring that as a transition into our next topic, which is JoJo Siwa and Dylan Mulvaney's new songs, both of which had a spot on the internet for very different times. But I think that contributed a lot to how their songs were perceived. So I think that's a really good transition. So let's start with JoJo's clip, as I think this is more the meatier of the two.
JoJo Siwa's attempt to rebrand and why it didn't work, it's still JoJo Siwa. What it's lacking completely is vulnerability and honesty.
Yeah, so that was JoJo's clip, and along with Grace VanderWaal's on top. And again, you are listening to Mass Art Radio, where we are talking about JoJo Siwa's new song. So, thoughts on that small clip from the chorus?
I really don't like that song now that it has fully come out. I get it in my Instagram feed all the time, and I hate it. It's so bad. And it's kind of the same thing with pop catchy songs, that you get plastered with them so much that you can't but hate them.
And especially the short form based TikTok Instagram Reels clips, it's the same section of the song over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's kind of like Rebecca Black's Friday, where it's catchy. I think that this song is bad, but I think it's catchy. I could hear it twice and still know the first couple lyrics of the chorus.
Yeah, I catch myself singing it a lot. But yeah, it's just because it's so in my brain, because I see it so much.
Yeah, although I will say the chorus is perhaps the least upsetting part of the song. I think something that we haven't talked about too much that I find particularly grating is the lyrical content of the song. It just feels perhaps appropriately for JoJo Siwa, but not for, I guess, her rebrand. Very childish. It feels like ChatGPT writing pop music.
Yes. I think why I find this song so interesting is it's huge on TikTok and it's loved to be hated. But also, JoJo has a huge background in the limelight of pop culture, and she's always been there, and she's always kind of been loved to be hated, which mm-hmm. is terrible that this is her rebrand into adulthood and she still has this past of love to be hated as a child. It's terrible.
She also was marketing herself as a child for so long, into adulthood.
Yeah, and this is something I think many child stars struggle with. For example, Britney Spears, I think, was able to do it perhaps a bit more successfully, although at the cost of her mental health. But this child to adulthood transition is so difficult to pull off in the eyes of the public when you've been seen as a child for so long. Yeah. How do you then convince people who don't know you that you should be taken seriously as an adult with serious adult ideas?
Not with this song.
No, I don't.
This
I don't
is
think
not
it's
the way to do it.
No, exactly. I don't think it's been a particularly successful pivot, in part because it still feels childish. It feels like a child perhaps dressing up as an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I wanted to include that Grace VanderWaal clip at the end of her talking about this, because Grace VanderWaal did have a small, one-hit wonder as a kid. And kind of has an interesting perspective as just an outside perspective of these other stars, I guess, who are around her age. And she said it's still JoJo Siwa, which is why I think that is kind of overall everyone's thought to hearing this song is it's still JoJo Siwa, who in our mind is a kid and marketed her whole brand, even going into adulthood for kids up until very recently.
And let's be honest, she hasn't significantly changed up her look. She's still doing the same thing.
No.
She's still got the pony.
Yeah. That's what people are saying. They're it's just monotone, her previous look, which kind of makes sense. But also, if you're going to do a completely 180, don't take anything with you, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I just, it feels really weird to see her acting differently after kind of like growing up at the same time as her and like seeing her like be like a little kid for a really long time.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a weird feeling.
Started on Dance Moms at like what, 9 years old? Like very young. And
then she got turned into a marketable product.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And like, I have a little sister and she like has JoJo Siwa like merchandise and like
the bows, the glitter,
like seeks it out. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit abrupt. I'm not sure if I was, obviously I'm not a PR expert, but I'm not sure how a more successful pivot would have went. I wonder if there's another, if there are different stylistic choices, if there are musical choices. What do you guys think?
I think that the actual like song itself is still, like you said, it sounds like a child. Like, it's not, they weren't successful in like making it look like she changed or like evolved, because it sounds like her other music.
I was going to say, that's another thing that really stood out to me from the song, is the production on it feels very outdated. It feels like a second tier pop song from 10 or 15 years ago when she was a child.
Yeah.
So sonically, I'm not hearing it in conversation with current pop music.
Yeah. I like, I think it's really funny that like before, JoJo was not really on my radar other than like, you know, she was on Dance Moms, except for a TikTok video before this song, before any production of it came out. Of like, the video blew up because she was singing really bad in her car. Do you know what I'm talking about? She's like,
I know the video.
She's
yeah,
screaming. And I think that this was like, I wonder if that was like a PR stunt, because it's like, if she's really bad at singing, then it makes this song look a little better. And I think, like, I think it had the opposite effect. And they're like panicking now, her PR team. I mean, what do I know? I don't know about PR, but, you know.
I mean, it is sort of a classic move to, like, as, like, a non-musician celebrity to be like, oh, I'm going to make music now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, try it out. And, like, you know, you have the money to, like, buy decent production and, like, vocal lessons.
Yeah.
But you don't really have the money to buy, like, good artistry.
Yeah, like, a lot of recent celebrities and TikTok stars are like, I'm going to try music now. And it's, like, so many people making terrible music because they don't know anything about music.
Yeah, that's perfect you say that, because we've also got one more star to talk about. But we're going to take a little break to let you know what you're listening to here. Monday can't get out of bed. Tuesday morning, pick up meds. Wednesday, retail therapy. Cash or credit, I say yes. Thursday, had a walk of shame. Didn't even know his name. Yeah, so that was Dylan Mulvaney, another TikTok star's jump into the music industry. And I think that Dylan and JoJo are a really good comparison. I think first let's talk about what we thought of that clip sonically, and then we'll get into the comparison of the two.
Sonically, it feels very, very different, I think, from JoJo's song. I think I hear a lot of influences from Dylan's honestly pretty extensive and successful musical theater background. I think that comes through really strongly in the song, which might be perhaps one of the reasons why people have found it off-putting. I think musical theater is, I'm not going to say an acquired taste, but it fits much better in the context of a show than it does in a pop song.
Definitely. Yeah. I think, I honestly, I've come around to say that I do enjoy that part, because like I've had the Tuesday morning pickup meds. That part has been in my head only for like the whole week, that every time I think about this song. And like, I'm not mad about it the same way that I'm mad about JoJo's Karma being in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, it's a lot like lighter of a song.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't take itself as seriously. It's sort of happy-go-lucky. And I think that, like, gives it a lot more breathing room than, like, JoJo's song.
Yeah, it's also a lot more personal. This is Dylan's writing about, you know, her own life and her own experiences. So even though the song quality-wise and vocal performance-wise and maybe even production-wise isn't particularly enjoyable, there is some meat that I can grab onto in this song to understand it, whereas JoJo's feels like a facade or like a pretense at pop music, whereas Dylan's feels authentic in a way.
It feels a lot more like it was like written by the artist than just like someone in a studio.
Yeah, and I don't want to fall into the trap of hating on songs simply because they weren't written by the singer. That's been done for how many hundreds or thousands of years, but I think having at least the lyrical content relate to the singer in a way that we understand certainly helps it.
Yeah. Speaking of lyrical content, we have to talk about why this song has been received so badly on TikTok and specifically, and that, like, people fear it's a very, like, stereotypical view of girlhood. But, like, I don't know if I completely agree with that. I think it is very happy-go-lucky, and, like, it's a song isn't going to quickly get into, like, the gripes of that. Like, do you know what I mean?
Well, and Dylan's whole, like, personality and brand has been, like, built around this sort of, like, happiness and girlhood.
Right.
Like, look. Yeah. So I think it makes a lot of sense for, like, this to be the song that comes out of, like, that internet, like...
persona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think it is very much a character that she plays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think...
people just don't like it.
I feel like JoJo and Dylan's songs... which is why I want to compare them next to each other, have a really similar reception in that, like, they're both kind of loved to be hated. Dylan's a little less so. I've seen a lot more on JoJo's song than Dylan's, but I still feel like they had really similar initial waves that struck.
Yeah. And they're both, like, kind of like TikTok, internet, like, new.
Right. So this is why, like, JoJo has been on the internet and has a lot, like, more experience in that, even though she's younger than Dylan, I believe, if not, like, definitely younger.
No,
I believe Dylan's in her 30s.
Right. So, like, I don't know. I think that their backgrounds with this, like, how their songs are being received is a good comparison. That JoJo has been on the internet, she's been a child star, and Dylan only came into the limelight of TikTok in 2021,
I believe. 2021, yeah.
So that's really not long in comparison to JoJo's, like, 10 years?
Yeah, like, literally, like,
a little childhood. Little kid.
It's also interesting, another point of comparison between the two, they're both songs by queer women.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I can't help but think that that also probably has some impact in how they're received. I think queer people and women especially are given very little grace in how they are critiqued.
Yeah, I think that a big part of, like, JoJo's song is, like, this is after she came out, and it's, like, I'm an adult now, and, like, I can, like, make songs about adult stuff, and a lot of people are reacting to it and being, like, this is so gross, and, like, it's, like, too much, but it's, like, would they... It feels a little weird the way people are criticizing it. Mm-hmm. It feels a little, like, targeted because she's gay.
Like, why aren't you a kid anymore? Like,
yeah, I don't know. Like, it feels like this is a natural, like, transition for JoJo in some way. And also, like, a good way for her to, like, establish herself as, like, a gay celebrity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even if it was, like, intentionally bad, it's still, like, it's in all of our heads. Like. Mm-hmm.
It worked.
What did she say? She said, like, oh, like, you guys may hate it, but you're singing it. It's in your head. Like, and she's right. She has a point.
Yeah. I mean, it's catchy, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's definitely, like, a love to hate type. Like, I will sing it, but I will hate on it.
I was thinking about you calling, like talking about, like, it being an adult song, but also JoJo being, like, a child star. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, the song in the video does sort of strike me as, like, a childish view on like adult subjects.
I agree. Yeah, like this, if that's all that growing up is to you, then are you growing up?
Yeah,
truly. That is a really interesting point.
Yeah, that's really good. Because, like, I don't know. Makes me, like, wonder, like, how much of her being, not, I don't know if forced, but, like, made into this, like, childish character has, like, affected her mental state. Like, does she actually think like this? Or is it just, like, a persona she's putting on? I don't know.
Yeah, growing up branding to kids, mm-hmm. like, are you, how much are you growing out of not being a kid? And, like, that's got to be impossible.
Yeah.
And I can't, I don't know.
Yeah, no, like, I think it's impossible to be, like, a child star without it, like, having some sort of, like, impact on you that, like, affects you for the rest of your life.
I think it says something that most of the child stars who are now in adulthood from the early 2000s, you know, Britney Spears, Demi Lovato, Selena Gomez, so on and so forth, have all had very, very difficult lives.
Yes.
Yeah,
definitely. Like, they've, it's been, like, a thing they've had to, like, gone over and, like, struggled to. And it's really sad watching it happen.
Again and again. Like, I don't know. We can say JoJo's song is bad from an objective point,
mm-hmm.
all we want. But what is the point? Like, she's just a kid still. She may be legally an adult and rebranding this, but she's still a kid.
Yeah, she's, like, our age.
Right.
Like, she's still, like, learning to be a person.
Right. Which is kind of, she's gone from this, missing this, like, middle ground of, like, I am an adult, but it doesn't need to be, like, I'm an adult, you know? Like,
yeah, look at it.
Like, I'm an adult. It. I'm an adult technically, but I'm still learning. Like, that's what I feel like she should have gone for.
Yeah.
Perhaps something more like, perhaps something more like Dylan's song, which is about, you know, learning how to be someone.
Right.
Well, and that's sort of Dylan's whole brand is like this, like, okay, I'm entering girlhood. This is like, you know, I'm publishing my journey on the internet.
Right. Which JoJo, like, this is why I think JoJo and Dylan are really interesting comparisons, because Dylan coming onto the internet, this was all an adult's decision. JoJo coming onto the internet, just been there. She doesn't know anything else.
Yeah, and it feels like a lot of people are behind what she's up to. Like, it feels very PR. It feels weird.
I mean, she blew up huge. Like, even post Dance Moms, I think her, whatever that PR team did to get her into this glitter bows like thing,
mm-hmm.
it was right for them, but maybe not for her. Like, they made money, but probably not good for her.
But,
you know?
Like, they made, like, a human being into a marketable character.
Yeah. I think that these were just very interesting topics, but we're gonna take it to a quick break here.
Have you heard of Mass Art Radio?
Have I heard of Mass Art Radio?
Have I heard of Mass Art Radio?
Mass Art Radio?
Mass Art Radio? Is that like,
No, not really.
No, I can't say I have.
No.
No.
No, I don't think so.
I'm not sure I have. Do you mind telling me about it?
Yep. Check out Mass Art Radio on 102.9 FM on WBCA, Boston's community radio.
Mass Art Radio!
Yeah. Again, you are listening to Mass Art Radio on WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's community radio. We are Mass Art Radio. Again, we have a new website you can check out. It's massartradio.com. We're also live there. Or if you want to hear some old segments, you can do that as well. But right now, you are with Kin,
Ethan,
Nat,
and Liv.
And next up, we've got we're staying with our bad music theme here, or at least perceived bad. We've got a couple songs up for you. First up, we've got Weezer's Undone, Sweater Song, which is a good one, in my opinion.
Perhaps and, not in other people's.
Yeah, exactly. So here is Undone by Weezer. Did I need to?
Hey, Bob. somebody who makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head? This is where I grew up. I think the president would have fixed it up. I never knew we ever went without. The second floor is hot for sneaking out. And this is where I went to school. Most of the time I had better things to do. Criminal record says I'm broken twice. I must have done it half a dozen times. I wonder if it's too late. Should I go back and try to graduate? Life's better now than it was back then. If I was them, I wouldn't let me. Somebody went and murdered down. We used to listen to the radio and sing along with every song we know. We said someday we'd find out how it feels to sing to more than just a steering wheel. Kim's the first girl I kissed. I was so nervous that I nearly missed. She's had a couple of kids since then. I haven't seen her since God knows when.
That was A Photograph by Nickelback, released in 2005. And up next is Me by Taylor Swift and Brendon Urie, released in 2019.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks? Darling, I will be loving you till we're 70. And baby, my heart could still feel less hard at 23. And I'm thinking about how people fall in love in mysterious ways. Maybe just the touch of a hand. Well, me, I fall. Honey, now take me into your loving arms. Kiss me under the light of a thousand stars. Place your head on my beating heart. I'm thinking now. When my hair's all but gone and my memory fades, and the crowds don't remember my name, when my hands don't play the strings the same way, I know you will still love me the same. 'Cause honey, your soul could never grow. Baby, your smile's forever in my mind and memory. I'm thinking about how people fall in love in mysterious ways. And maybe it's all part of a plan. Well, I'll just keep on making the
another like me. Like me.
I know I tend to make it
I know you never get just what you see, but I will never bore you, baby. And there's a lot of hey guys
out there. And when we had that fight out in the rain, you ran after me and called my name.
I never wanna see you walk away. And there's a lot of hey guys out there. Cause one of these things is not like the others. Living in winter, I am your summer. Baby doll, when it comes to a lover, I promise that you'll never find another like me. Never find another like me.
Sorry for the mix-up earlier. What you just heard was Thinking Out Loud by Ed Sheeran from the album Multiply, then followed by Me by Taylor Swift featuring Brendan Urie from Panic at the Disco from the album Lover.
Yeah, so that was our bad music mix. You couldn't hear, but during Taylor Swift and Brendan Urie's Me, we were all going, ah, ah, because it's a tough listen.
Oh, I hate that song so much.
Yeah. I agree. Weezer, though, and Nickelback.
Oh, gotta love Nickelback, gotta love Weezer.
Who doesn't love Weezer?
Like, the Blue Album,
the
definitely.
The Blue Album.
Yeah.
I can't hate on Undone.
I could listen to the Blue Album as, this is a bold statement, I could listen to the Blue Album as the only album I listen to for the rest of my life.
That is definitely a bold statement.
I mean, I don't know. I really think I could.
I think we should test it.
Give me a week of listening to Blue Album only.
I think so. I think we should test it and report
back. I would. I'm a chronic song looper, so I honestly think it's possible.
I think this is a challenge.
I guess I'll catch you guys back next week with this. But yeah, we're running out of time here to talk about our bad music. Obviously, we played some lovely, great, awesome songs. So glad you stuck around until the end. And last time, I'm Kin.
I'm Ethan.
I'm Nat.
I'm Liv.
And this was Mass Art Radio on WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's Community Radio. And one last time, you can go check out our brand new website where we are also live, massartradio.com. Again, that's massartradio.com. We're live there, or you can go listen to our past radio broadcasts. And yeah, that's all we have for you guys today.
Thank you for putting up with this.
Yeah, thanks. Bye, everyone.
Bye.